Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
God, you're worthy, Lord Jesus. Can I tell you, in every circumstance of life, that's my prayer, God, let me become more aware of your presence. Because when we become more aware of his presence in our life, our circumstances don't seem so big. I heard a story this week about a man and his son. His son asked him a question. He said, "Dad, how big is God? How big is God?" The dad showed the son an airplane in the sky. He said, "Son, how big does that airplane look to you?" He said, "It don't look that big, Dad. It looks pretty small. I can cover it up with my thumb." The dad drove the son to the airport. And he brought him beside a plane and he said, "Son, how big does that plane look now?" He said, "Oh, Dad, it's huge. It's big. It's amazing." He said, "Son, that's how it is with God." He said, "That's how it is with God." He said, "Your closeness to God is going to determine your view of how big he is in your life." And so when we sing the song, "Let us become more aware of your presence," can I tell you, so many times the enemy would have you to focus on the circumstances of your life. But if you'll focus a little bit more on the presence of God, those circumstances won't seem so big, because in light of how big my God is, man, the circumstances are so small. Amen. Praise God for such an amazing God, such an amazing Father. Amen. Will you pray with me? God, I love you. And I thank you, God, for this day. I praise you, God, for this opportunity that we have to come into your presence. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, God, for such an amazing Easter weekend. But God, I know your mercies are new every day. And so, God, let us become more aware of you this day, this Sunday, because Jesus, you are still alive. You are still on the throne. You are still redeeming. You are still saving, God. And right now, I pray, Lord Jesus, God, that you would have your way in the remainder of this service. God, we'll be quick to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, God, for everything that's accomplished in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give him one more hand clap of praise today as you are being seated. You can keep playing for me, if you don't mind. Keep playing for me real quick. How many of y'all know today is a new day? Easter Sunday is behind us. And what an amazing Easter Sunday it was. I just want to brag. I know I've already alluded to the attendance that we had, but I just want to celebrate 23 decisions for Christ, 23 salvations. Can we give God? Come on. You're not getting excited enough for 23 souls. Come on. Praise God. Y'all act like we're at a golf tournament this morning. 23 souls. 23 souls is a reason to get excited about. I want to thank you for serving. You know, it's so many, I think many churches, and I can't answer for every, I just answer for this church, so let me just move on. Let me not even make that statement. I don't want to overlook the volunteers. I don't want to overlook, we celebrate the attendance. We celebrate the decisions for Christ, because the decisions for Christ is what it's all about. To see the lost saved. But we could not have ministered to 1,300 people last week if it wasn't for all of our volunteers. We had over 150 some odd volunteers park over at R&A Oyster last week and be shuttled over across to church, all to serve all day long, three services, to make sure our community and everybody was ministered to effectively. So thank you so much. Can you give yourselves a hand this morning? Yeah, give yourselves a hand. I honor you and I appreciate you. I think I'm a little biased, but I think we have one of the best church families around. I don't know. You can call me whatever you want to call me, but I love y'all so much. I'm so thankful and I'm so honored to be a pastor, to be the pastor of one of the best churches on the planet. So thank y'all so much. I'm launching a brand new series today, and this is a much requested topic. As a matter of fact, we've had our equip nights for the past couple of months. Our equip nights take place on the second and third Wednesday night of every month. And I've had a few people come up to me and say, Pastor, I would really love to hear a series on the Holy Spirit. And so many of you are shaking your head. And so I'm excited about this. I'm excited to preach these Sunday morning messages. But there's only so much I can communicate on a Sunday morning message. So I'm even more excited about teaching the material on the equip nights. So with that being said, if you have a question about any of these sermons that I'm preaching, if you have a question specifically on the Holy Spirit or spiritual gifts, there's going to be a QR code up on the screen in just a moment, and you can scan the QR code and you can text in your questions. I'm excited I'm excited to just dive into the topic of the Holy Spirit. So I want to set up the stage. I want to set the platform for this because I just talked about the third person of the Trinity just for a moment, the Holy Spirit, and about 50% of the congregation just got nervous. Your palms are sweating already. You're a little weak in your knees. Just take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. Amen. It's going to be all right. I want to set the stage for this. Got a quick introduction for you before we get into the word and all of that. How many of y'all have this crazy uncle in your family that only comes around maybe a couple of times a year at family reunions, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and everybody dreads to see him coming because he's always doing very inappropriate things, and you know, everybody's sort of embarrassed about this. Don't raise your hand. But some of y'all are pointing to people in the congregation right now. Can I tell you that's many people's view of the Holy Spirit? And it's sad. It's sad because he is the third person of the Trinity. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, and we have God the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to go ahead and make a profound, what should not be a profound statement, but is a profound statement to most people today. God, the Holy Spirit, is just as much God as God the Father. God, the Holy Spirit, is just as much God as God the Son. Because we believe in one God eternally existing in three persons, namely the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the second class person of the Trinity. I'm already preaching and I'm just now into my introduction. Let me say, I've seen firsthand that most Christians hold either a distorted, inaccurate, or incomplete view. A distorted view, meaning they have a hazy view or a distorted view of who the Holy Spirit is. And inaccurate, meaning they've been given inaccurate information based on maybe a certain denomination, what denominations teach on the Holy Spirit, or certain backgrounds teach on the Holy Spirit, or maybe an incomplete view of the Holy Spirit. Maybe somebody misused, maybe somebody did something dumb and they blamed it on the Holy Spirit and it was not the Holy Spirit. And now you have viewed the Holy Spirit because of what that crazy person, because there's just as much religious nuts in the world today as there are sane people. And sometimes you got a bunch of religious nuts that's blaming things on the Holy Spirit that should have never been blamed on the Holy Spirit to begin with. And you've got all of this stuff going on. And so what a lot of people choose to do is just stay away from it. Because people fear what they don't understand. But if we would develop a relationship with the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, it might help us understand him more. See, most of us feel offended when somebody thinks badly of a person we love and we respect. If you talked about, as crazy as my uncle is, come on somebody. If you talk bad about him, I love and I respect him, and I'm going to be a little upset at you. Can I tell you, I think it's righteous anger, but I get a little angry when people start talking bad about my God. I've heard a statement said this before: stay away from people who talk about the Holy Spirit. Essentially, what they're saying is stay away from people who talk about God. Put that into perspective this morning. I'm excited because we're launching a new series. So it's really disappointing to see that, but I want us to open your Bibles to John chapter 14. I want us to read verses 15 through 18 as our main text today. And something we do here at Forward Church is we stand for the reading of God's word. This is just something that we do to honor the word of God. If you're new to Forward Church, this is not anything mechanical or just weird. We just like to honor the word of God, and we believe this is a good way to do it. John chapter 14, beginning with verse 15. If you got it, say, I got it. If not, it's up on the screen, and it says this. This is Jesus talking. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Somebody say another helper. That he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Today I'm excited because I'm going to launch a new series, and I didn't give this some kind of fancy name. Are y'all ready for this? This is going to blow your mind. I simply title this series, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Amen. Are y'all ready for this? Praise God. Will you pray with me? God, I come before you one more time. I pray your anointing, God. Let everything I say, everything I do, let it be ordained by you. Nothing more, nothing less. And God, I just pray, God, not a single one of us would leave here the same way we walked in Jesus' name. Everybody said, high five two or three people and let them know how awesome it is to see them in church today. How many of y'all, you have a wife that loves pretty stuff? Knickknacks. Paddywhack, give the dog a bone. No, I'm just playing. My wife loves pretty stuff. She has these place settings on the dining room table. And it's always like, I have to ask her every time we have guests, are we using these cloth napkins today, or are these just for looks? And a lot of times, guess what? She's got paper napkins over here for everybody to use. And these things most of the time are just for looks, right? How many of y'all, you're so scared to raise your hand right now. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to ask for forgiveness later. Amen. Much of the material that I've gotten from, that I'm going to be preaching from today, I've gotten from a book titled The God I Never Knew. Robert Morris wrote that book. One of the best books that I've ever read, hands down. And if you are a person that wants to discover more about the Holy Spirit, I highly recommend that book. But he tells a story in this book about his wife buying a new comforter. They were very poor, and she went out and splurged one day and bought a new comforter. And he came home from work, and he walked into the bedroom, and he expected to see this new comforter laid out on the bed. Well, much to his surprise, guess what? It was still in the box. Still in the box. And he looked at his wife, and he said, why in the world we spent all of this money on this new comforter? Why aren't we using it? And she looked at him and said, it's just for... Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is not just for looks. We need to let the Holy Spirit out of the box today. The Holy Spirit is not a prop. The Holy Spirit is not just something that we just like to talk about, or we just like to say, well, look how pretty this is, or look how awesome of a service we had. Or, you know, it's one thing to talk about, you know, the outward signs or the way things look. But can I tell you, the Holy Spirit is meant for so much more in the life of a believer. We need to unbox the Holy Spirit in our life. But we can't unbox the Holy Spirit until we know who the Holy Spirit is. This is going to be a very elementary message for some people today, but I got to lay the groundwork. The Holy Spirit, first and foremost, is our helper. Somebody say, He's my helper. See, it's no wonder that Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the helper four times in three consecutive chapters in the book of John. John chapter 14, John 15, and John 16, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as helper. In each of these four instances, the term helper or the word helper is translated from a Greek word, parakletos. How many of y'all has ever heard of the word parakletos? Parakletos is a Greek word that means advocate or it means helper. It's almost like this judicial term. The term is talking about a person who pleads your case like a lawyer before a judge or someone who goes before you to intercede with someone on your behalf. So in other words, the Holy Spirit is your helper. He intercedes. He goes before you. He is for you. And He's not against you. See, the key message about the Holy Spirit's role is very simple. He helps me. As a matter of fact, there's a lot of things in this life that I could not do and I could not make it through on my own without the help of the Holy Spirit. He helps me to know what to say when I'm speechless. When I don't know what to say, when I don't understand what to say, situations where you didn't have the answer, then suddenly a thought comes to your mind. Can I tell you that's the Holy Spirit in your life? I know you've been there before, maybe a job situation, maybe a work situation, maybe a family or a marriage situation, maybe a financial situation, and you didn't know what decision to make, but you prayed and then all of a sudden the answer, it became clear. Can I tell you that was the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer? He helps me to know what to say, and He also helps me know what not to say. Sometimes it's good to have both, amen? I'm sure that you've experienced a little bit of both in your life. Maybe you've been involved in a conversation with someone and they got a little bit emotional or it got a little heated, and just as you were about to throw a really clever comeback, something told you, be quiet. And you were like, I hear you. Or maybe you're about to make a post on Facebook. Come on, so maybe I need to make it a little bit more 2024. Because you know what? It's one thing. We don't have a lot of people who's bold enough to say something to people's face these days, but we've got a lot of Facebook warriors these days that will type it out. And I'm thankful for a Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of me that quickens me to know maybe I shouldn't type that. Or maybe I can type it, but I just don't hit that blue button that says post. Maybe I type it out and say, thank God, that was good therapeutic counseling right there. And I hit backspace, delete, delete. And I just say, okay, I got it off my chest. See, the key though right here is hearing God's voice when He speaks. See, I preached on this leading up to this point, and so many times the world labels people crazy these days that says, God speaks to me. But I believe in a God who still speaks to His people. I believe that we can still hear the voice of, it might not be an audible voice, it might be something that just dropped in your heart. It might be something that God just reveals to you in your mind. It might be an audible, it might be that still, quiet voice of God, but hearing God's voice is vital to breaking out of old comfort zones and into exciting new levels of effectiveness in ministry and in life. If we never hear the voice of God for guidance and direction in our life, then we become stuck and stagnant as Christians in our walk with Christ. And it's almost like we become just this religious robot, just following the customs that we've grown up, you know, being taught our whole life. Can I tell you that there came a point in my life where I had to make my walk with Christ my own walk with Christ? My dad's a pastor. He started pastoring when I was about 14, 15 years old. And thank God I had a drug problem growing up. Y'all know what I'm about to say. He drugged me to church every time the church doors were open. And I said, Sunday morning, back then we still had Sunday night. We have small groups now, but Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night prayer meeting, Wednesday night, midweek, I was at church every time the church doors were open. But can I tell you, it was at a Monday night prayer meeting at Zion Ridge Church of God that I experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and my life has never been the same since. And can I tell you, I'm thankful for a dad that instilled that in me growing up. But there was a point in my time, in my life, where no longer could I just live off the testimony of my mom and my dad. I had to form a personal relationship with God. And hearing and responding to Him can take us to new places of intimacy and purpose. I'll never become as intimate with God as He desires for me to be with Him if I never learn to hear Him speak to me. All of this begins by recognizing which member of the Trinity whose function and who is tasked with speaking to us in this season of church history. In this season of God writing His story on the face of this earth in the form in and through His church, the third person of the Trinity is who is tasked with the role of speaking to His people. So when we understand whose role it is to speak to the church, that God does His work in the church and through the church, through the third person of the Trinity in this day, through the Holy Spirit, this is the main reason I think people aren't sure if they can really hear the voice of God, is because they have refused to engage and embrace the member of the Trinity whose job it is to speak to them. So many times people feel far from God, or they feel like, I cannot hear the voice of God, or I don't understand this, or I don't understand that. Maybe, just maybe, I'm here to explain or maybe challenge you this morning. Maybe it's because we haven't spent as much time engaging and developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit. So why is it the Holy Spirit desires to communicate to you? If God's going to speak to you, he has something He wants to say to you, right? Because God does everything on purpose for a purpose. That's hashtag right there. On purpose for a purpose. So what is it that God wants to communicate to us through the Holy Spirit? Well, we find this in the book of John, chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. It says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." This is Jesus. He said, "It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper," there that term is again, right, "will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict." Everybody say convict. Amen. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Hold on to those three things. Put them in your pocket. We're going to save them for later, okay? Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Jesus right here names three areas the Holy Spirit will convict the world. What are those three areas? Sin, righteousness, and what? Judgment. Now, what does Jesus mean by the word convict here? The word convict gets a bad stigma in the church today, because many old school preachers would get up here and say, "We need to get conviction back in the church." We do. We need conviction in the church, because without conviction, how can one be drawn to salvation? So conviction is a good thing, but it's taking on this bad stigma, like conviction is, no, conviction draws you to Jesus. Convict, in other words, it really means to convince. Convince. To convince somebody of something. We might think of some sort of criminal term or prosecution, like he was convicted of a crime. He was convicted of that. But simply put, to convict means to convince. So in other words, the Holy Spirit will convince the world of God's truths concerning three things. What was those three things? Sin, righteousness, and judgment. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to the world today, and He's speaking to the church today concerning three areas: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Let's dive into this. That was my introduction. Here's my three-point outline. Some of y'all are so scared. See, when the Holy Spirit convinces a lost person that sin rules in their lives, it's the only way they become aware that they need a Savior. It's the only way that people are saved. People would not be saved today if it wasn't for the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, you can get offended at that statement or not, but it's the truth. It's the truth. It's what the Word of God teaches. Well, Pastor, I need scripture for this. Well, here it is. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit Spirit of God calls Jesus is cursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that draws people to Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of their sin. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts me of my sin. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts me when I slip up and when I mess up and when I make a mistake. Because even though I'm saved, I still make mistakes. Don't act all self-righteous on me this morning. You know, even after you're saved, you still make mistakes. And guess whose role it is to, or guess whose job it is to tell you that you've messed up when you've messed up? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. He also convicts us of righteousness. You see, righteousness simply means having a right standing with God. I'm not righteous in and of myself, right? But I'm only righteousness. I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So Jesus says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of righteousness. He says, because I go to my Father. And the reason we can have right standing before God is because Jesus ascended to the Father and sits at the right hand as an eternal reminder that our sins have been paid for. This is a great message following up Easter Sunday, because I preached on the crucifixion of Jesus last Sunday. If you wouldn't hear before that message, you might need to go back and listen to that message. But it wasn't just the crucifixion of Jesus Christ that paid our debt. How many of y'all know the resurrection of Jesus Christ had just as much to do with it? See, when you understand how the Old Testament priest would take the blood of the sacrificial lamb into the Holy of Holies, Jesus was crucified, he shed his blood, but he ascended into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God to make atonement. Okay, that's, never mind. Okay, I might need to preach on that another time. Scan the QR code, put it in the questions, and then we'll talk about it Wednesday night, okay? But he says, I will convict the world of righteousness, or I will convince them of righteousness because I go to the Father. In other words, your sin's been paid for. When you receive Christ as Savior, you're not righteous in and of your own self because of your works. Ephesians says, I'm saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not by me that I can boast and say, well, praise God, my sins have been, I can only thank Jesus for that. See, Jesus is referring to the fact that we all need to be convinced that righteousness exists, or that it's even possible to have a right standing with God. Because the number one, I'm about to preach, and I'm already a minute 50 seconds over my time. The fact of the matter is, y'all like that statement? Come on, somebody. The fact of the matter is, the enemy would love to convince you that you are worthless, that you are nobody, that you don't even have a place in the church, that how dare you even darken the doors of the church house because of everything you've done this week. But it's not because of who you are, but it's because of what Christ has done in you and through you. I'm not righteousness in and of my own self, but I'm clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And when the enemy starts whispering in my ear, look at all these things. Look at how terrible you are. Look at how dirty you are. It's the Holy Spirit that reminds me of my righteousness in Christ Jesus. I'm going to get a little excited right there. Because we got too many Christians walking around today like a little defeated puppy with their tail tucked between their legs. And I'm afraid it's because they don't have a good intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit and can hear his voice. They only hear the voice of the enemy speaking over them. But I choose to silence the voice of the enemy, and I choose to turn my ear to the voice of truth that tells me that I am standing upon what Jesus did. I'm not standing on what I've done. Standing upon what he's done. See, the Holy Spirit's role is to convince us that we have been made righteous through the blood of Jesus. Righteousness exists. I'm going to preach right here a little longer. Righteousness exists. And it's possible, even though we don't do it all the time, it's possible for us to live right. God's grace extends and God's grace abounds. But Paul said, since God's grace abounds, should I keep on sinning? He said, of course not. See, God made a way through the Holy Spirit that we can actually live an empowered life to live right and to make right decisions. That, I'm not going to say you always do it, because guess what? Sometimes, even though we hear that voice that says you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that or you shouldn't say that or you should, because sometimes it ain't what we do, it's what we what? Don't do. How many of y'all know not doing the right thing is just as bad as doing the wrong thing? Pastor, I need Bible. The Bible says, he that knoweth to do good and does it not, to that person, it's a sin. Wow, I'm losing half the congregation right now. Number three, judgment. And this is really, it gets better and better with every single one. David's agging me on over here. And I'm about ready to give an altar call and lay hands on some people and see some, woo. And the Baptists and Methodists is in the crowd getting nervous right now. But how many of y'all know the Comforter's in the house? Come on, somebody. I know the Bible says not to add to the Word of God, but the Bible says there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor slave nor free, nor male nor female, young. See, we're all one and the same in the body of Christ. I'll just add to that. There's neither Methodist nor Baptist nor Church of God nor Assembly of God. Can I tell you, we're all part of the body of Christ, and it doesn't matter what the world has defined you. We believe in one God. I preach Jesus Christ. And if the Word of God says it, we believe it. Keep it simple. Finally, the Holy Spirit was sent to convince the world of judgment, because it says the ruler of this world is judged. It's what Scripture tells us. Who's Jesus talking about here? Satan, our enemy, who prowls around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. I got news for somebody today. He's already been judged. He's already been sentenced. Jesus said this on the cross. He said, "It is finished." I wish I could remember the Greek word there. If I had Pastor Adam up here, he would tell me. The Greek word for "it is finished," tetelestai. Tetelestai. Thank you. I think you said it. We did a D now for a youth group that was their theme for the Discipleship Now weekend, tetelestai. That word tetelestai was used in three different circumstances. Number one, it was used when people would settle a debt, meaning not when the debt was partially paid or when a partial payment on the debt was paid, but when the debt was paid in full, it was announced, tetelestai. It is finished. That term was also used in a courtroom term, meaning when the sentenced, they were sentenced to something the sentence had been fully served. And when the sentence had been fully served, the judge would announce, tetelestai, it is finished. And then last but not least, in a military sense, when the battle was raging, and then all of a sudden, it was won. All of a sudden, the war stopped. The battle, once and for all, was over. They would announce, tetelestai, the war is over. It is finished. Can I tell you that Jesus on the cross, when he announced tetelestai, your debt was paid. Your sentence that was intended for you, life in prison was my punishment. Eternal death was my punishment. But Jesus stepped in and he served my sentence and he said, to tell us stop. See, the battle was raging over my soul. The battle was raging over your soul. But can I tell you that the ruler of this world has been judged? The ruler of this world has been judged on the cross. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," can I tell you that Satan has been defeated, that he's already been judged? I know I've read the back of this book. I know how it ends. We win. Spoiler alert. If you hadn't read the back of this book, we win. The only way you lose today is if you quit. If the enemy would convince you to throw in the towel and say, "I'm done. I'm done with God. I'm done with church. I'm done with all of this. That preacher is crazy." I'm done. But as long as you don't quit, you win. When Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross over 2,000 years ago, he won the victory over death, hell, and the grave, thereby sealing the ultimate fate of Satan. The Holy Spirit convicts us. He convinces us of this truth by convincing us that Satan no longer has any authority in our lives. And if we never engage and embrace the third person of the Trinity, whose role it is to convince you that Satan has already been defeated, you will form a much bigger picture of your foe in your life than what he should play in the life of a believer, because whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Where the blood of Jesus has been applied, the enemy has no authority over you. As a matter of fact, you have the authority over him to tell him to get behind me in the name of Jesus. You've got authority. Closing with this. You may be listening to this message today and all you hear is, "Pastor, I'm just a horrible person. God's mad at me. He's just out to get me." I'm going to tell you something. That's not the Holy Spirit's ministry at all. You know whose work that is? The enemy. The Bible says he is the accuser of the brethren. And I always say this. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren, so let's leave that job up to him. We've got too many religious nuts today walking around accusing people of stuff. And all they're doing is allowing the enemy to use them. But I choose not to allow the enemy to use me today, but to allow the Holy Spirit to use me today. And I want to say something over you today. Number one, he's convincing us that we need Jesus. He's not pushing you away from Jesus. If anything pushes you away from Jesus, if anybody has said anything or done anything that has pushed you away from Jesus, I can almost for certainty say that that was not the Holy Spirit. They may have blamed it on the Holy Spirit, but it was not the Holy Spirit. So number one, he's convincing you. He convicts the world of what? Sin, right? That's step one, that we need Jesus. He's drawing somebody to Jesus this morning. Number two, he's convincing you of righteousness. You may be saved in the house this morning. "Pastor, I received Jesus as my Savior," but you know what? The enemy, he's been talking in my ear all week long. He's been telling me how dirty I am, how nobody, how good for nothing I am, how I shouldn't have even come to church this morning, how dare I even get up and darken the church doors. And guess what? If you'll silence him and turn your ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit this morning, he will convince you and he will tell you something else. He'll tell you something much differently than what the enemy is whispering in your ear this morning. He will remind you that the work was finished on the cross of Calvary. He'll remind you of your right standing in Jesus Christ this morning. He'll remind you that you are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and it's no longer you who live, but it's Christ who lives within you. And he'll remind you, "Greater is he that's within you than he that is of this world." He'll remind you of the truths of the Word of God. That pointing finger is on it this morning. Holster this thing. Last but not least, he convinces us of judgment. See, some of you are fitting under that category this morning. The enemy's launched an all-out attack. He's coming against you. He's coming against your marriage. He's coming against your finances. He's coming against your workplace, your job. He's attacking you from every different angle that he can possibly attack you. But I'm here to declare that the Holy Spirit is convincing me this morning that he's already been judged. The enemy's already been defeated. That I have the authority in the name of Jesus to square my shoulders and look the enemy square in the eye and say, get behind me in the name of Jesus. Get under my feet in the name of Jesus. You have no power. You have no authority over me. But greater is he that's within me than he that's. Come on. Give him praise, somebody. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Three things, and I just went over those things. If you need salvation, guess what? Today is the day. If you need freedom, today is the day. If you need victory, today is the day. I believe the Holy Spirit is here in this place where two or three gather together in my name. There I will be in the midst of them. He's your helper today. He's your helper. He's your comforter. Your very present help in time of need. Don't leave this place today without seeking him and without embracing him and without engaging the Holy Spirit. Pastor, what do I do? Let me walk you through this real quick, because I got about 50% of the church that's chomping at the bits right now, and y'all are ready, but I got another 50% of the church that's you're like, what in the world is about to happen in this place? Let me tell you, one of three things. Number one, is this worship team's up here on this platform. They're gonna lift up praise and worship because God said, I inhabit the praises of my people. That's scripture. The scripture also tells us that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And that's what we want in the house right now. We want freedom. Because when there's not freedom in the house, you know what happens? Everybody's like, I ain't moving. But where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And when there's a freedom in the atmosphere, you say, I don't care what nobody thinks about me. I don't care what nobody says about me. I'll push out everybody out of the way that I have to push out of the way if I can get to God. So number one, this worship team's gonna lift up praise and worship. Number two, there's gonna be an altar team up here. As soon as I pray and as soon as I say amen, and if there's enough altar workers today, let's do what we did last Sunday. First priority is the up front. Second priority is the aisles, okay? But there's an altar team, and they're gonna simply just be here to ask you, what can I pray for you about today? They're not gonna make you do anything you don't wanna do. They're just gonna simply ask you, what can I pray for you about today? And they're gonna help you pray. And number three, and this is the most important, you're gonna be given an opportunity to respond. Because guess what? I prayed a prayer at the beginning of this service. God, don't let us just be hearers of your word, but doers, okay? Because hearing the word of God and not responding to it, the Bible says, it's like looking at in the mirror and not even acknowledging what you're looking at, or not even acknowledging what you just saw. So it's most important this morning that you respond to the preached word of God. And that's what's about to take place in this service right now. I want to pray one more time. And as soon as I pray, these altars are open. Are y'all ready for this? Amen? Amen. God, I love you. And I praise you for who you are. And God, I thank you, God, for this moment that we have to respond to your word. I pray, God, from the front to the back, God, from wall to wall, God, everybody under the sound of my voice, God, would experience the freedom and the love and the mercy and the goodness of God. God, that they wouldn't even hesitate, but they would get out of their seat today, God, and come to an altar, Lord, to embrace and engage the Holy Spirit in their life. And I give you the praise, I give you the glory, and I give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, somebody, get out of your
seat. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.